where people have sat on, they've come out of classrooms in universities with the books of hadith. They've gone to some benches, wiped the bench, put the book of hadith on the bench, and then sat on the book of hadith. With this kind of disrespect, never will we gain any ilm. Remember, the material world is different and the spiritual world is different. We don't understand the spiritual world. And this respect is to do with the spiritual realm. We may not understand it, but it works, it's there, it exists. And it has its causes and it has its results and its effects. When you are disrespectful, Allah will deprive you of barakah in your life. Allah will deprive you of inner peace. Allah will deprive you of learning, of ilm. You will never ever gain any knowledge. You are disrespectful to the elderly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ensure that when you are old, others will treat you the way you treated others. We all talk about being respected, wanting to be respected, but you can never give, you can never gain respect without giving it. As you do unto others, others shall do unto you. And we may gain a lot of information, but remember, ilm, knowledge, doesn't necessarily equate to information. Information doesn't necessarily equate to knowledge. We may have lots of bits and bytes of data on our computers and lots of words in our minds, but this is not necessarily knowledge. Knowledge is that which benefits you and guides you and gives you a light and provides you with a light. And that knowledge only resides in the hearts. So the spiritual realm is very different. Once a teacher was teaching his students, and a student stood up and he walked across the classroom. He walked across the classroom. So this teacher, who's teaching hadith, the teacher closed the book of hadith and he said, "Today's lesson is over. We shall resume teaching tomorrow." Abruptly. So they asked him why. He said, "Because when I teach, there's a certain connection between myself and my students." Something that we want to understand. Certain connection. A certain environment. When that student walked across the classroom, he disrupted that connection and he violated that atmosphere. Therefore, I can no longer continue teaching. Now, that's something we may not understand. And some people may, some skeptical individuals may express doubt and skepticism about this. But this is not the material world. This is the spiritual world. Let me give you some proof from the hadith. Imam Nasa'i rahmatullahi relates a hadith. Listen very carefully. Imam Nasa'i rahmatullahi relates a hadith in his sunan. He says, one day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led Fajr Salah. And whilst he was leading Fajr Salah, the Prophet of Allah, he made some mistakes and he became confused in his recitation of the Holy Quran. After the Salah ended, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned around and he said, "I was wondering in Salah why I was experiencing difficulty reciting." He said, some of you have not performed your wudu properly. Some of you have not performed your wudu properly. Complete your wudu. Because when one of you comes with an incomplete wudu, it even affects the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his tilawah of the Quran. Subhanallah. Amazing. That someone in the congregation doesn't perform their wudu properly. And that this is a spiritual world that has such an effect even on the Holy Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he experiences difficulty in the recitation of the Holy Quran and he is confused and makes mistakes. So next time the imam makes a mistake, don't bother him, ask yourself. Don't take that literally. That's not any exoneration of imams. Everybody's responsible for what they do. But we should be mindful of the causes and effects of our behavior. And this is it. This is the spiritual world. If you are disrespectful, Allah will deprive you of barakah and knowledge and amal and practicing. But if you show respect to Allah's religion, the people of Allah's religion, the symbols of Allah's religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you immensely, not just in terms of material reward, but spiritually in many different ways. This is a spiritual world. Allah has told us to respect people. Respect is an integral part of religion. It's an institutional religion. And unless we begin to respect individuals, people, and symbols of Allah as we should, then we will never be able to develop the greater things in religion, such as love and harmony. parents should respect their children, should respect their parents, wives, their husbands. We as individuals should respect each other, the senior amongst us, the elderly amongst us, and the learned amongst us. We should respect religion in all its forms, respect the people of religion, ilm, ulama, the books of religion, the environment of religion, the atmosphere of learning, everything. Even the tools. Once I was in class and one of the students threw a pen across the room because another student needed it. Our teacher reprimanded him instantly and he mentioned a very beautiful point. He said, you are students. If you want to gain knowledge, respect even the tools of knowledge. Why throw the pen? Respect the pen. Don't consider the pen to be trivial. Remember, Allah has sworn by the pen in the Quran. Allah says, Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. Noon, by the pen and by that which they write. So if Allah has sworn by the pen in the Holy Quran, and with the pen, Allah has taught man. The pen is an instrument of knowledge. Respect it just as you respect knowledge. And only then will you gain knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. May Allah make us amongst those who realize the importance of respect in all aspects and fields of life, in all aspects of religion. May Allah make us amongst those who respect our parents as we should, our seniors as we should, the ulama as we should, the people of the past as we should. May Allah make us amongst those who respect our colleagues and the rights of other individuals. And may Allah make the women amongst us respect their husbands as they should. And equally so, may Allah give the tawfiq to parents who are respected by their children to show compassion, love and affection towards their children, to fulfill their rights and the obligation duties that are that are due to them. May Allah grant the men amongst us who, whilst deserving respect and expecting respect from their wives, also treat the wives as they should be treated. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala abdihi wa rasooli nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I actually have quite a few piles here of questions, so I'll try to answer as many as possible. One of the questions is, what sort of respect does one have to show his or her in-laws? Some people refer to in-laws as outlaws. One's in-laws, parents, father-in-law, mother-in-law, are very close in rank, not equal to. But very close in rank to one's own parents. It's not a hadith or a narration of any sort, but it's a common statement often repeated by scholars from tradition that one has a number of fathers. One's own blood father, one's father-in-law, and one's teachers who also serve as fathers. Now, Islam teaches us, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, that Allah azza wa jalla has created between you the ties of marriage and as a result, love and affection. One has to honor these ties, the ties of blood, kin, and this kind of relationship. And the in-laws are included, the brothers-in-law, the sisters-in-law, especially the parents-in-law, the father and mother-in-law. And what else can be said about it? They are to be respected, even more so than others, because in a way they serve as one's own family through marriage. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we learn from many ahadith, he would show special love to the family members of his wives. As I was mentioning in the speech, sadly we do take many of our cues from non-Islamic culture. and it's part of modern day culture to look down upon and to deride one's in-laws. All kinds of jokes are made about the mother-in-law, the father-in-law. Often in-laws are ignored and overlooked, but in Islam this isn't the case. And like I said, mother-in-laws are often the butt of many jokes. I once, as you know, in botany, the science relating to plants and flowers, etc. As far as plants and flowers go, they have two names. One scientific name, which is often Latin, and the other name is a common household name. So the Latin names of these plants, the scientific divisional name of these plants, are often very difficult, but they have a common household name. And there's one particular plant, I don't know the scientific name, but I do know the common household name. It's a spiky plant, which it's very stiff and it's spiky, and it shoots upwards in a twisted way. And the name, the common name of that household plant is mother-in-law's tongue. So modern day culture, like I said, does deride and look down upon and hold in contempt the in-laws, but in Islam that's not the case. One should show respect to all the members of the spouse's family, both from both sides. The husband should respect his wife's family, the wife should respect her husband's family, and especially the parents, the father and mother-in-law. Another question: when you said that in a courthouse people stand up to respect the judge, I don't believe that this is really respect. It's not respect unless it is felt. Respect is more than bowing, speaking softly or anything like that. Do you believe there is a big difference between showing respect and respect? Alhamdulillah, I mean, I didn't say anything that suggested otherwise. The example I was giving of the courtroom wherein the attendants are required to stand up when before the judge for the sake of the judge, undoubtedly these people aren't going to be respecting the judge in any way. What I was explaining is this is the kind of respect which is being forced upon individuals. True respect stems from the heart. Respect is when a person values something, appreciates it, recognizes its worth, recognizes that things or that person's superiority, right, worth over this person. And respect is an emotion, it's a sentiment in the heart that encourages that individual to make sacrifices in order to show respect to that other person. And it all stems from the heart. So respect has to be felt when it is shown. Both go hand in hand. It's impossible to say you feel respect when you're not displaying it. But it is possible to display respect whilst concealing enmity and hatred and contempt in one's heart. So the example I gave about the courthouse, it wasn't to suggest that people do respect the judge and they should respect, they should respect other people. What I was trying to say is that modern day culture forces respect only in some instances, whilst at the same time encouraging and engendering disrespect in individuals at other times. So about the military, sometimes these individuals, they don't respect their superiors at all. They don't feel any reverence or veneration or admiration in their hearts. Rather, they despise them, hold them in contempt, fear them. But the discipline that they are displaying is respect more out of fear of being punished or more out of fear of retribution than genuine felt respect in the heart. So the same with the courthouse. I'm not suggesting that criminals who have no respect for the law and are being summoned before a judge are going to have any respect for the judge himself. That wasn't the case. So in reality, the question doesn't really touch upon something that I suggested. It may be the result of a misunderstanding of what I said. The example of the courthouse I gave was to show that modern day society, modern culture, forces and imposes respect upon individuals only in certain circumstances, whilst encouraging them to be disrespectful to the worthy and rightful people of respect on other occasions. Another question is it mentioned in the Quran that parents should not respect their children? No. When I said that the parents aren't required to respect their children, meaning the Quran has not made it an obligation, the Quran has not demanded of the believers that they should respect their children. Now, I did mention very clearly in the speech that it doesn't mean that the parents disrespect their children. Like I said, we were talking about respect. And respect is a certain emotion and a certain expression of a sentiment which can only come from certain individuals in certain ways at certain times. And parents, the feelings, the expression of emotion that parents show their children isn't necessarily respect, it's love, it's affection. So although the Quran doesn't tell us, no, the Quran doesn't say you don't respect your children. I can mention in the speech that I did say very clearly that whatever I have said doesn't mean that parents should disrespect their children. No, but it's pretty obvious. Parents can never respect their children as children respect their parents. Children should serve their parents, should stand before them humbly, should wait upon them, should cater for them, should be dutiful to them. Children should serve their parents. Yes, although the word has very evil but the word has very undesirable connotations, that's why I'm reluctant to use it, because some people do cringe at the use of this word. But children, in a way, should be servile to their parents. They should be the servants of their parents. We've heard the hadith on many occasions from different ulama. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam relates this hadith in Bukhari and other authors. Well, this hadith has been recorded by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, as well as others in their books of hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking about three young men who were travelling together, and from amongst the people of yore, those who came before us, and they were stuck. There was a thunderstorm, and because of the foul weather, they took shelter in a cave, and somehow the mouth of the cave was then blocked by a rolling boulder, and they were trapped. The three of them realised that we will perish and we will suffocate to death in this blocked cave. So let us turn in earnest and in sincerity to Allah and pray to Him, pleading with Him and interceding through our best deeds. So then each of them began praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioning to Allah some of the best deeds that they had performed in their life, which they believed were extremely sincere for the sake of Allah. And one of them was a young man who said, "Oh Allah, as you know, I had parents who were old of age, weak and frail. And I had children, and I had a family. And each day I would travel far and wide, looking after my herd in my flock. And then I would return in the evening and give milk to feed my parents and give them milk to drink. One day, before I fed my own family, one day I returned late, and I discovered that my parents, old and frail, were already asleep. They had fallen fast asleep, hungry. So I didn't want to disturb them and wake them. So I waited for them to wake up themselves. And I stood there with a bowl of milk standing before them, whilst my own children were clinging onto me around my feet and weeping loudly because of their hunger. But I did not feed my children, and I waited, and I stood there all night long before my parents. When my parents arose in the morning, "Oh Allah, I fed my parents first and then my family. Oh Allah, I did this. If you know that I did this only for your sake, solely for your pleasure, then oh Allah, relieve us of this suffering and remove the boulder from the mouth of the cave." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that that was sincere for him, responded to that prayer and accepted his dua and removed part of the boulder. So this is the teaching of Islam about parents. One should serve them. Yes, the parents have a greater right of being served than a person's own family. One should serve his parents before one serves his own family. That is the teaching of Islam. So no way can anyone expect the parents to respect their children the way the children respect their parents. It's not just love and affection, it's veneration, it's reverence, it's servitude, actually being servile and showing an attitude of servitude to one's parents. So parents should not, you know, there's no requirement of parents respecting their children. Now, I don't know who the questioner is. If the questioner is a young brother or sister who feels that the question is related to parents who abuse their position and who do disrespect their children, then there are cases such as that. There are cases. And you know, that is a very sinful attitude to adopt. I can't make this into a talk or a speech about children's rights over parents or how parents should treat their children. But indeed, parents, whilst expecting respect from their children, should also be an example in conduct. They should, their behaviour, their speech, their conduct should be exemplary. Something that their children can look up to, admire and follow. Their behaviour and attitude should be such that it earns respect and engenders respect in the hearts of their children. If parents are going to be sinful, and as Maulana Suleiman just a few minutes ago responded to a question about a father who abuses the wealth of the child by gambling. Now indeed, if a father's going to be a drunkard and a gambler and a wayward individual, then it's human nature. He cannot expect the children to respect him at any cost. So yes, parents shouldn't disrespect their children, but it has to be agreed and accepted that parents will never be and can never be expected to, or are never required to show respect to their children in the manner that children should show respect to their parents. Concept of respect in Islam. What is the reference of the hadith you refer to about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he couldn't remember the Quranic recitation because the people did not complete, make proper wudu, spiritual connection? This is a hadith related by Imam Nasa'i rahmatullahi in his Sunan. And I explain the hadith in a graphical manner, but the wording of the hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum in Fajr Salah, and he experienced difficulty and confusion in his recitation during the Salah. After the Salah ended, he turned around to the congregation and asked them specifically, and saying that I was experiencing confusion and difficulty, is there any one of you who has not completed his wudu? Now we learned, that's what I was saying, that we learned that from that hadith that subhanAllah, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed the Sahaba that complete and perfect your wudu when you come for salah. Because that's a hadith. And the meaning I inferred from that hadith and that I explained is that subhanAllah, the failure on the part of one or more individuals in the congregation to perfect and to complete their wudu created problems for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thus he experienced confusion in his tilawah of the Holy Quran. It's a hadith related by Imam Nasa'i in the Sunan. There are quite a few questions, I can't read all of them out individually, but all of them center on this perennially popular topic of husband and wife. Because I mentioned about wives respecting their husbands. Now, I said it then in the speech that it's such a delicate topic, you're always treading on toes, and one has to walk on eggshells. You fear treading on people's toes, and one has to be extremely cautious, and one feels like one is walking on glass or eggshells, in fact glass, because it's such a delicate and thorny topic, and there is great scope to be misunderstood and for one's words to be misconstrued. But that's why I pleaded with you that please don't misunderstand me. The topic isn't about the rights and the duties and obligations between husband and wife and their relationship. The topic was about respect, and as just part of it I mentioned that the wife should respect the husband. Now, just as I mentioned about parents and children, indeed parents should show affection, love, tolerance, compassion, understanding, and all the other emotions, sentiments, and attitudes and behaviors that are honorable and noble on the part of parents towards their children. But you can't expect parents to respect their children the way children respect their parents, and should respect their parents. Equally so, we were talking about respect. And a wife has to show a certain kind of respect to the husband. The husband shows respect, but in other ways, and the husband has to show tolerance, understanding, forgiveness, compassion, love, affection, meet the requirements of the meet the requirements of the wife, etc. But you can't really call that respect. If the wives and if women want to consider that to be respect, then alhamdulillah, that's respect. If they feel that by the husband listening to them, consulting them, accepting what they say, I wouldn't say giving in to their demands, but fulfilling their requirements and fulfilling their needs, and doing what they would like to be done within the limits of the Sharia. If women would like to interpret that as being respect, then so be it. Alhamdulillah, it's not respect. It's respect, but I'm not going to term it respect in the context of the talk I gave, because it's about a certain kind of respect. All of that is good and honourable. I mean, one could mention many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In a hadith, he says that indeed the most honoured amongst you are those who are the best mannered and who are best in their conduct towards their wives, and I'm the best in my conduct towards my wives. So there are many ahadith about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching men how to behave towards their wives. But here we're talking about respect, and one of the questions is about sajda. It says, as you said in the hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I was to instruct anyone to prostrate before anyone, I would ask the wife to prostrate before the husband. Don't you think that this simply signifies a respect for the spouse, i.e. the husband, not that the wife can prostrate before the husband? I did explain very clearly that no one is suggesting that the wife actually prostrates before the husband. The words of the hadith are very clear, and I repeated the hadith a number of times, that the Prophet ﷺ said, if I was to instruct anyone to perform sajda and to prostrate before anybody else, then I would instruct the wife to prostrate before her husband because of the great right that Allah has placed over her, for him over her. So indeed, sajda even to her husband is haram, completely haram. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is explaining the extent of the right of the husband over the wife and the kind of respect that the wife should show to the husband. Now, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't say that about the husband, does he? There is no hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the husband, if I was to instruct anyone, then I would instruct the husband to do this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has instructed the husbands to behave in a particular way and the wives to behave in a particular way. And as far as prostrating or the possibility of prostrating before anybody else is concerned, he's mentioned that about the wife to the husband, but not vice versa. Similarly, in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, by Allah, a woman will never enter Jannah until she fulfills the rights of her husband. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a woman's salah is not accepted as long as her husband remains displeased with her. Now, this isn't general and unqualified, i.e. just because the husband doesn't get his tea on time, he throws a fit and he turns around and says, right, you're not going to Jannah. No. It means genuine displeasure, which is a result of sincerity and which is a result of genuine disobedience on the part of the wife. So the Prophet ﷺ hasn't said that about the husband, that if the wife is displeased with the husband will never go to Jannah. In that case, very few will end up going. Rather, it's the opposite, it's the other way around. So if we look at the ahadith, you will find that the Prophet ﷺ made statements about the behavior of the wives towards the husband that he has not mentioned about the husbands towards wives. So that shows that that particular respect, that particular kind of behavior is obligatory upon the wife towards the husband. Because some of the, like I said, there are so many questions about this topic. I can't answer all of them, I can't read all of them out, but all of them center on this issue of why shouldn't husbands show respect to their wives? Why do the wives have to show respect to their husbands? The husband should respect their wives, but like I said, their respect will manifest itself in different forms. A husband is expected to get angry with his wife. And women get angry with their husbands, undoubtedly. Only yesterday I was reading an article about how women are being violently and physically abused in their homes. Obviously, this is a general topic, it's not to do with Muslims in particular. And the statistic was, I think I can't remember the exact context, but within a short while, 15% of marriages, within a short while, 15% of female partners record physical abuse at the hands of their husbands. A tremendous figure. But then, more surprising is, 18% of men complain about being beaten by their wives. The whole article was about how the media, because of feminism, has pushed the topic of physical abuse at home and abuse suffered by women at home at the forefront of politics and of political discussion and in the media. It's true. It's lamentable. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was told that some of the men beat the women during the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. He came out. And the Prophet, he said, I've heard that some amongst you beat their women. Those of you who beat their women are not the best amongst you. They are not the best amongst us. And then he went on to say certain things about how is it possible for a man to be physically violent towards his wife and then yet have intimate relations with her afterwards. But in the hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also clearly forbidden that wives should beat their husbands. And it's a common case. Very, very common. In fact, statistics now, since we all love and believe in these statistics, well, let the statistics speak for themselves. Wallah, more statistics show now that men are on the receiving end of physical violence at home than women. And some people may say, how is that possible, these 6 foot, 200 pound men? How can they be beaten up by their wives? You see, many men suffer from a certain complex. They will never react to a woman hitting them because they fear what they will do. A man fearing the results of one of his punches to his wife, no, it's not funny. A man fearing the result of one of his serious punches to his female partner, he will actually withdraw and suffer physical violence. And that is a case. So, anyway, the topic is about why should men not respect their wives, and why is it that women should respect their husbands? Like I said, that all the duties, obligations, or expressions of emotions and attitudes and behaviours that a man should display towards a wife, if you want to call it respect, but I'm not going to necessarily call it respect in the context of my speech. That kind of respect is reserved for the husband on the part of the wife. It doesn't make her less worse, and it doesn't make the husband any better. But that's the position Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. Look, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that he would instruct the wife to prostrate to the husband, and I can't find any other hadith in the whole collection which says that the husband should do that to the wife, I can't make it up. I have to mention just the hadith about the wife prostrating to the husband. Also, I was speaking about insolence and rudeness. And this is a common problem. I speak of experience because being ulama, being in this field, we don't just lead salah, we don't just talk and preach and teach. We often deal with many countless family and social problems. Most of them are to do with marriage. And I can tell you some stories. I was talking about physical violence. One couple came to me once. And the girl, sitting there very humbly, quiet, poor fragile thing. Wallah, she elicited empathy. She elicited sympathy. Felt so sorry for her. And the husband was sitting right next to her. And she says to me, I told her, okay, what's the problem? She started, she spoke for half an hour. And she mentioned quite a few things. One of the things she mentioned was, he beat me up. He physically assaulted me. He drove me out of the house. Now, what she said was quite serious, and he even made my eyes moist. After she finished, I said to her, okay, let me listen to your husband. So I said, is it true? The first thing I asked him before anything else, I said, is it true that you beat her up and you drove her from the house? So he looked up and he said, yes. He didn't say it defiantly. He said it very quietly, as though he was ashamed about it. And he said, yes. So I said, why? He lifted up his shirt and he said, I hit her because she stabbed me from here all the way to here. And he showed me the scar. He said, I was in hospital and I couldn't work and I was immobile for 6 whole months. So he slapped her up, a very bad phrase, but she stabbed him and carved a wound out from one shoulder all the way to the right hand rib. So talking about physical violence, and the same wife on another occasion, she took a screwdriver and stabbed him through the leg. Now, these are examples of people I've actually spoken to and dealt with. Now, I've dealt with so many cases, and one of the biggest problems I find in marriage is the disrespect shown by the wife to the husband. And I'm talking about in those instances. Look, if the husband's not worthy of respect, I'm not going to talk about that. Some of the sisters have mentioned that, how can a wife have respect for a husband who cheats on her, beats her, and does not support her? Okay? The wife has tried to respect him, but he beats her and has affairs with other women. Will Allah expect her to respect him? No. No. If a man can be as low as having affairs and committing adultery and cheating on his wife and then beating her, he's the one committing adultery and then he beats her, then such a man is not worthy of respect. But my advice to such a sister would be that you can do on one of two things, one of a number of things. Either you advise him, pray for him, and for whatever your personal reasons are, maybe try to save your marriage because of him, because of both of you, or because of the children. But pray for him, advise him, involve other people, and hope that Allah gives him the tawfiq to repent and to change. And be patient. And if you can't do that, and you're not exactly required to, if he goes to the extent of committing adultery, then simple. Sort out your marriage, and if need be, seek talaq. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, الْخَبِيثَاتُ لِلْخَبِيثِينَ وَالْخَبِيثُونَ لِلْخَبِيثَاتِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتُ لِلْطَيِّبِينَ وَالطَّيِّبُونَ لِلْطَيِّبَاتِ. Everybody knows the meanings of this verse. The pure for the pure, the impure for the impure. If she is pure and chaste, and he is committing adultery, and then beats her, then of course she is not going to be able to show any respect to him, but she should sort herself out. I'm not talking about such husbands. I'm talking about husbands who try, but the wives spoil matters because of their insolence and their rudeness and their lack of respect. Now, in such instances, there will never be harmony in the house. There will be serious problems. And it's well known, sometimes women resort to their arsenal of weapons. Men resort to their arsenal of weapons. Men react differently, women react differently. When men get upset, they're not going to wag their tongues. Why? Because it's scientifically proven, traditionally known, empirically proven that women are better speakers than men. They've got the gift of the gab. When men get angry or upset, what do? They can't respond. They grunt and retreat into their caves. That's what men do. They grunt and retreat into their caves. When a woman gets angry, she can let off a fire of torrent and abuse. And often they do, because that's the way they react. They may not mean everything they say, but they react. My advice is, this is the insolence and disrespect that I refer to. Even with pious husbands, you know, it can cause serious problems. And when there is disrespect in a marital relationship, then guaranteed failure, guaranteed jahannam for the two of them in that marital relationship. And I'll end with one hadith. You know, people say, oh, how can that be? Men can be very intolerant and impatient in this regard. I mentioned the hadith of Abu Dawood. People may not know this, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did divorce one of his wives, and he took her back. The wife that he divorced was Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And it's mentioned in Abu Dawood. The hadith clearly states that Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, She was upset with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She, in her anger and her hurt, she spoke out of turn. She spoke in a very inappropriate tone of voice and manner to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He became angry. In his anger, subhanallah, the most patient of all human beings, the most resilient of all human beings, the most composed of all human beings, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even he was provoked to the extent that he divorced her. Because of the what she said and the manner in which she spoke, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam divorced her. And this is what happens. So many cases of divorce, women speak in a particular way, in a very disrespectful way, and the husband, in his anger, that's the only reaction he knows, he divorces her. Now this is a fact that's mentioned in the hadith. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did divorce her, but he took her back. The story was that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, Allah instructs you to take her back and to revoke your divorce. For innaha sawwama qawwama, for she, the Ummul Mu'minin Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, is one who spends excessive time in salah at night and she fasts excessively." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did take her back, but subhanallah, even the most composed and the most patient of all men, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when disrespect was shown to him, he reacted in that manner and he eventually divorced his wife, although he took her back. And sometimes I do say, it may not be humorous to some, but you know, women, wives should be extremely careful as far as respect is concerned. If you disrespect the husband, although the husbands are encouraged, don't divorce your wives, be patient, be tolerant, be understanding, be patient, be tolerant, be understanding. Although we may say that repeatedly, sometimes it's a natural reaction. A man, when provoked, and especially when he's being dissed, when he's being disrespected, this is how he will react. So be careful. If he divorces you in anger, no angel is going to come back and say she is excessive in her salah and in her ibadah, so take her back. There are quite a few other topics about respect, especially with regards to marriage. Like I said, look, it's an equal affair, husbands and wives. Both have duties and obligations towards one another. It's not one-sided, and I don't want to sound biased or misogynist in any way, but we were talking about respect, and the kind of respect I was speaking of has been applied to wives towards a husband, just like children are to behave in a certain way towards their parents. Of course, all the other ahadith and verses of the Quran, the other way, are applicable and true, but that's not the topic of today's talk.